Welcome to Slug's bi-weekly Slug Soundwaves podcast. Here, in our print mag and on slugmag.com, enjoy our curated content that highlights the best of Utah's alternative and underrepresented music, arts, events, and community subcultures. If Slug has benefited you or someone you love, consider contributing to sustain our existence. Head to slugmag.com/donate to join our community of donors.
Slug Magazine's Brew Stillery is a local beer and spirits festival, and it's been celebrating Utah's brewers and distillers since 2018. This all-ages event has something for everyone to enjoy, offering tastings of local beer and spirits, and also featuring local food trucks, artisans, and music. Don't miss Slug Mag's Brew Stillery 2024 on Saturday, June 15th at ArtSpace City Center from 2 to 7 p.m. Tickets on sale now through 24tix.com.
He said, she said, I am unlovable. My God, my friend, we've got some trouble here. Create chaos.
Shh, are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves.
Squeeze tight, here it comes again. Feel it, try it.
Persona 749 is a six-piece band from Salt Lake City. After the group met in college, they began releasing singles in 2021. They played Slug's localized show in 2023, and at the time had only 5 members. Now, they've established a track record of heavily streamed singles, 19 in total, and 1 EP. In this episode, 3 of the band's members joined me at the Slug headquarters where they spoke about their upcoming debut album, and the growth it's taken them to be ready for it. The frontman, Che, reminds me of a young Michael Stipe. He speaks about the personas he plays with that make up his eccentric, Elfman-like vocals. This episode is airing the same day the band releases a brand new single from the album, which you can stream now. Persona 749 will also be playing at Kilby Block Party on Sunday, May 12th. You can find where to get tickets and read Slug's past coverage of the band at slugmag.com.
We are one half of Persona 749. I'm Che. Mainly sing and play guitar as well.
I'm Landon. I play the keys and produce, and that's about it for me.
I'm Lyman. I play guitar as well, and I just play guitar.
Yeah, and we're missing Michael Bloom, who plays guitar, sings a little bit as well, Brandon, who plays bass for us, and Ryan, who's our drummer. I think we're drawn a little bit to electronic sides of music. Some of us are, some of us aren't, which is good because we all kind of pull like different influences. But yeah, I don't know, ever evolving rock music.
Yeah.
That's kind of as far as we like to set that like genre boundary, because we're kind of always wiggling around in there.
When I first started producing, a lot of stuff I did was, it was like the 2016 wave of everybody wants to be a bedroom producer kind of thing. And then I kind of like got into all these electronic influences, and then I moved out here, I met Che, and it really broadened my horizon. And he showed me a lot of music. We really bonded over music, and then kind of like evolved to all these different influences and all you can do. And it's really fun.
Yeah, I'll say we just trying to make music that reflects our emotion. Sometimes just play with our hearts and just trying to, you know, infect our audience with that.
Well said. I think that we all kind of bonded over like the indie sleaze era of music. I think also like New York, early New York stuff. We kind of crossed paths with David Bowie and the Talking Heads, as do most music fans.
Yeah.
For me, like LCD Sound System was like my really falling in love with songwriting when I had first heard them. Anything that David Byrne does is great. I really like Blondie as well. Me and Michael bonded over like the Smiths. We listened to a lot of Smiths.
I connect a lot with Radiohead, Oasis, like a lot of the British wave stuff, and then a lot of post-punk stuff that...
Yeah, for sure. Gang of Four.
Yeah.
Ryan, our drummer, is like the biggest Rush fan of all time, and he kind of pushed that on us in the best way ever. And then I know me and Brandon talk a lot about like what's going on in, I don't know what they call it, like the windmill scene, like Black Midi, Black Country, New Road, Fontaines, D.C., a lot of cool stuff happening over there. Yeah. I think guitar music kind of has binded us all. Anyone?
Yeah, guitar is pretty big with me because I really like guitar. I kind of exclusively only like guitar. Just a lot of songs were pretty much are instrumental based, like Polyphia and as does Tony. And I also like folk songs like Damien Rice. I'm definitely going to say I'm more on the, you know, the metal side.
When I am writing songs, I do not feel shy. Like, you know, if you hear something that works really well, I don't want to say like copying or something, but I'm not shy of at all. Like being like, yeah, let's totally try to do exactly what they did.
Pay homage almost.
Yeah. And just like, I don't know. We're such young musicians. I feel like all of us. And I think that that's beneficial to us for sure. We're super young, so I definitely think we're still unapologetically taking inspiration from our influences. My mom studied theater while she was raising me, and that was like what she was going to do. So we were always watching plays and stuff. And I think the theatrical side of playing characters is really beneficial to our style of songwriting. I also think I tend not to write as vulnerable. I think singing in a really distinct character can shield you a little bit from, I don't know, just the reality of like being vulnerable and like of expressing yourself. I just think the theatrical side of art and of music specifically is like really exciting and not as like objectively identified. I feel like a lot of music and the theatrics of music are more character than we think. And I think that that's really beneficial. I think it gives each song its own life. And I think that it lets each song exist independently from other songs, which I think is good.
Especially today, you have so many people in the industry that just like play these characters that it's like they do this, that, and the other thing, and then you go in here that it's not even real. It's like they're all playing personas, and it's so funny. But I think in a way, when you can identify that and not be boxed in by it, you can kind of create whatever you want to create, which is great.
I don't know. I think being fortunate enough to be raised without like feeling, I don't know, scared to like mess up or scared to fail. I feel like super lucky that I've been surrounded by like friends and these guys and like just my parents and the way that I was raised were like kind of anything goes. I think that that's also just been a really cool part of our generation and of the internet and being able to digest any form of anything. I think we were like kind of raised like that. And I think that that's what makes the music so open to like experimentation and stuff.
I kind of raised in a way that is completely different than Shay.
Yeah.
I'm an international student from Japan. My parents was always taught me that you should never fail. Once you fail, you'll never get up ever again. So I think so. That's why one of the biggest reason is I think it's because of friendship. A lot of time, you know, I don't have any siblings. I it's hard to, you know, make new friends and just like be real with each other growing up by yourself. And I think when I first met those guys, that's one of the thing that I felt it. And I know it's, you know, it's gonna be a long lasting friendship. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be music, right? It can be anything as long as you just do it with your friends.
We met playing hockey at school at the University of Utah. Four of us three and Ryan all went, Ryan graduated last year, but we all University of Utah students. We had a weird phase. Like we definitely were not in the scene at all. Like the we were hockey players, I still are, and pretty committed students. And so yeah, we would play college parties. We played what, three or four college parties probably. We went through the trials and tribulations when we first started.
Trial by fire.
Yeah, I remember. We played that show. I remember thinking Lyman was a super handsome guy, and I was like, all right, I'll teach you like a little bit more guitar, and if you're willing to play. And so that was like perfect. None of us were that like super good at playing when we first started anyways. So it's kind of, I think that was good for us. If one of us had been like a standout musician, I'm sure it would have scared us. You know what I mean? Scared. I think like Michael's probably the technically best musician, as is Brandon, but we got better, the three of us. I think we were all willing to like kind of suck for a little while because we got along so well. We live in the house that I grew up in. I moved around a lot in high school, but that's been me and my mom. I lived there since I was like 5. It was just me and her. She was like, I don't need this big house. We're like perfect. So 4-5 of us live there. Brandon, our bassist, doesn't live there. But Ryan, Lyman, Landon, me and Michael live there. And yeah, all of our band equipment's there. It's like totally our headquarters. We don't even have to leave that house. We have 4 cute little puppies that are sometimes crazy, but it's a going house. There's always stuff going on. For me, as in like lyrics, I've been taking a different approach writing lyrics with the album than usual. Doing those songs like was definitely experimenting with what feels natural singing wise. And a lot of those early songs, like I noticed that the best like performances when we would record those was so much easier. Just like Lyman was saying about like just closing your eyes and singing. When we would write down stuff, it was kind of harder to like get these authentic performances. Usually we would sing on the first songs. I liked singing about a concept, what the song was originally written about. But yeah, looking at lyrics or memorizing lyrics, I think always had a little bit of a crutch on performance. And so that'll be different with the album, just because again, I think albums are, it's really important to make it clear what you're trying to say and get your message across.
We're not spending hundreds of thousands of dollars and going to the nicest studios and having the nicest hardware equipment to be able to get the exact tones we want or whatever. So a lot of it is you find a way to get the best possible product you can. I look up to a lot of different producers, like Nigel Godrick. He does, I think it's phenomenal, a lot of stuff he does, just like how crisp and great the sound is. And a lot of those engineers are just phenomenal. But reality is, you got to give yourself your best shot at kind of emulating, giving yourself the best sound possible, right? Because it's not going to be the greatest, highest quality mix and master when we're all doing it in-house. But what's great about it is, I think through those experiments, we kind of learned how to get at the highest quality that tells the story the best. You know, like there's a lot of creative decisions that, like we were even talking about this today, that, yeah, it may not be technically correct, but it's a creative decision that, you know, we're putting out there and doing the best we can to kind of tell the story.
I think you're like really inclined to use their like grid system that these interfaces have, which always like results in a good song. You can like find exactly how to make it perfect and copy paste and stuff. And that was like, I think just how we like were in, I was introduced to songwriting, like putting it onto a computer. And then once we started playing it as a band, you just like hear all these small intricacies that like tell the story of the band. And like I listen back to like other records and the emulation of some of those songs where you like think that something crazy is happening, but really all that's happening is someone's like messing up because they're emotional, you know, because they're playing their guitar angry or they're playing their guitar softly. And that was like a lesson that I learned with playing with this band. Like some of our best performances, me and Lyman are like crying, staring at each other, like, you know, and that's not something you get when you record on a grid. Not that recording that way doesn't have benefits as well, but
yeah, I think we're just literally trying to make the best out of, you know, we have limited resources. I mean, for example, a lot of guitarists, they have a huge pedal setup, right? And personally, I do not have a huge pedal setup, but if you know how to play well on guitar, you can just mess around with the string with your finger and it might make the same effect. You know, it might bending the string make it sound like a pedal. You know, it's just like a lot of innovation ways to make it sound better without, you know, with limited budget.
Wait, what am I saying again? Let me think. Because I'm not saying what should the intro part be.
Yeah.
You're going to have to do the intro.
The one like dun dun da dum 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 da dum 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 da dum 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 da dum.
Hello, as this superintendent speaks. What? Well, trace it again.
We initially, just not having the resources, we always had, I would typically write a song on an acoustic guitar, and then we would build that out onto the computer. But then, yeah, I think like playing everything live now, one, we just like can all inject our taste more directly onto the song. But also I think it's really good to have humans interact with songs before you say that they're done. I think it's good to have different spaces interact with songs. We've had songs like sound great at different venues or in front of different people. And I don't know, it feels like when you put a song on a computer or you write a song on a guitar, like it is literally like an infant child. You know what I mean? And the more you play a song in front of people, the more that that song matures and like gets older and feels like it knows who it is more.
It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. I feel like we've played songs, so many songs, like so many times in front of people. And I don't even see this song as something we wrote. Like I see this song as like something that exists separately from us because it's become its own thing. All the songs that we recorded before we played it as a band, we'll play as a band after and be like, oh, we could have made this song
so much
better. I think it's just, yeah, it's good for songs to like live and have their own life before they are considered done. Mm-hmm. I think they need to go to sleep and eat breakfast and like, you know, do everything that we do.
Death and taxes.
Yeah. Stereo Girl is the lead single off of what will be our debut album. It is about...
The freshman album.
Yeah, our freshman album. It's about being young and confident and everybody, you know, having their thing and like life and falling in and out of love. And me and Michael, when we first wrote it, we had booked like a 2-hour drum session at a studio and something happened. I think Ryan, our drummer, couldn't get work off or something. So we're like, okay, we have 2 hours to record. I don't know what we should do. Neither of us can play drums. And so we just like went to the studio and recorded Stereo Girl. We got super lucky and like fell in love with that song. We started playing it live and it just was like working super, super well.
What's so interesting about it is that like it shouldn't make sense sonically. You know, like there's a bass guitar, there's a bass synth, you have the drum machine, and then you have another kit on top of that that comes in later. So like you have two, like a bass synth and then a bass guitar that are fighting for attention there, and then you have the kit, which is later. And it's so interesting because it shouldn't work, but somehow it does, and it's really fun and interesting. I think it's just a really fun song. Like you get the little like almost Beach Boy kind of background vocals in there that are super fun and playful. And
yeah. I was just like falling in love with like, not even falling in love with a girl, but just like had the biggest crush on a girl ever. It was supposed to be less of like lovey-dovey, more of just like infatuation with somebody. And like, yeah, that's how I felt. We are Persona 749, and you're about to hear our newest single, Stereo Girl, in its entirety.
You call the cops, you call the kids, you call the friends for what she did when we were down, I'm down, I'm down, I'm down, I'm down. I wanted all the ins and outs, never around the same old clouds. She's got it all, hit me real hard, it's understood the way she moves the legs, the lips, the lights. And love it, and love it, and love it, and love it.
Kilby Block Party. It's huge. Being from here, it's the most special, beautiful ode to our city and our flourishing music scene. I'm most excited to see LCD Sound System. That's like my favorite.
Yeah, it's. I'm super excited. We went to it last year because was it Brady gave us tickets? Yeah. So they gave us tickets last year to go, and I think I was with Michael, and we were watching the Strokes, and we were like way in the back, and at the end of the show we're like, dude, we gotta be playing here. And then not 3 weeks later they're like, you guys are playing next next block party. We're like, all right. Yeah, so it's a lot of fun. We're so excited.
Yeah, we're excited. Michael and Landon aren't from here, and their moms are like obliged to come celebrate Mother's Day here. So all of our moms are gonna like, the whole families are coming. Like, it's so special that they
feel so. It just feel come. Like a dream come true moment.
For sure. For me. For sure.
If you enjoyed this episode of Soundwaves, please take 60 seconds to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
This episode was produced and edited by me, Mary Culbertson, and promoted by the Slug Magazine editorial staff. Be sure to check out this month's issue of Slug. You can find a copy any place cool or at slugmag.com. KRCL was founded in 1979 to bring a more diverse voice to Salt Lake City and surrounding areas. KRCL is community funded and supported, which allows diverse commercial free programming that varies from indie to hip hop, blues to bluegrass, metal, punk, indigenous, and bilingual programs. Every weekday at 6 p.m., KRCL's Radioactive brings you grassroots activism and civic engagement with punk rock farming and live local music on Fridays. Tune in to KRCL at 90.9 FM. Stream at krcl.org or download the app on the App Store.
Did you enjoy this episode of Slug Soundwaves? You and the local community can continue to enjoy Slug Mag's content for free, but please consider making a one-time or ongoing contribution. Each contribution, no matter the amount, helps support Slug's creation of thoughtful media coverage on SLC's music, arts, events, and community subcultures. Head over to slugmag.com/donate to make your contribution today.